Thankful to be here this morning, and I know we've already had prayer, but let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, it's once again, Lord, a few of Thy children have gathered themselves here. We trust, Lord, for no other purpose but to worship Thee, the true and the living God. We ask now, Lord, that You would look down upon this congregation, that You would bless her as we endeavor to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We ask You to continue to watch Your watch care over us, and be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In case anybody was wondering what's going on, I have diabetes, and I have a meter that monitors my blood sugar, and my blood sugar was going low. Now, if it's going high, I don't need to concern with it. But if it gets low and it keeps going low, it could cause me to go into hypoglycemia, which would cause me to pass out. And I didn't want that to happen up here. That's the reason I was trying to run it up, and it's beginning to go up now, so I think it'll be okay. But if I feel faint, I'll sit down back here in this chair that the deacons have so happily placed back here for me to sit if I need to. But we'll trust the Lord and move ahead with what I had planned this morning. I've turned to a scripture found in the book of Romans. I think I've said this here before. Of all the scriptures that are contained in the Word of God, Old Testament and New Testament, you should read all of them. You should read as much of the Bible as you can through the year. But if you read through the Bible in a year, you should read Romans at least 10 times. That's how important it is. It's so critical and important to what we understand as the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Now, the subject I'd like to speak to you about this morning is the subject of the riches of God's grace. And you know, there's nothing any richer than the grace of God. But the grace of God, sometimes we have a tendency to think of this as the grace of God. We think of salvation is by grace. Salvation's not based on something that you do to cause God to love you and to bless you. No, salvation is of the Lord, and it's by His grace. And the scripture says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, you hath He quickened, that's made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sin. So we know that salvation is by grace. But the scripture has a lot to say about the riches of the grace of God. And the grace of God is far more than what God does for us when He regenerates us and gives us life and gives us this feeling of wanting to know God, wanting to worship God, wanting to serve God. It's more than just the life that He gives us at birth. It's something that is applicable for your entire life, from the time God quickens you and gives you life until you leave this world. We depend upon the grace of God. And we want to see several things that the grace of God does for us as God's children, even after He's quickened us and given us life. And so we want to take a look at some of those things. And our text this morning is found in Romans chapter chapter 4 of Romans, or maybe chapter 5 of Romans. I believe it's 5. Chapter 5 of Romans, verse 15. And this is what this scripture says. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Now, what offense is that talking about? That's talking about the offense of sin, the doctrine of original sin. The fact that we're conceived and we have within us sin that came to us by Adam. We're all sinners by nature. It's a part of the nature of man. It's a part of every single person that comes forth from the seed of Adam. The nature of sin. So that's what he is referring to when he's talking about that offense. And we'll see that here in a minute. Not as the offense, so also is the free gift. What is the free gift? The free gift is, in spite of the fact that we're sinners, God has given us eternal life. God has quickened us and given us life. That was free. It didn't cost us anything. We couldn't do anything to have earned it. It came to us by the grace of God. So as by the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, that's Adam, many be dead. Now listen to that. Many be what? Dead. What did Adam plunge every one of his posterity, or everyone that came from the seed of Adam? He plunged them into a state of death. And in a state of death, of course, there is no action. You can't find any action on the part of the dead anywhere that you look. You can go to the graveyard if there's any action going on. If there's any flowers being put on the graves, if there's any grass being mowed around the grave sites, it's because someone is alive and doing that work. There's no activity among the dead. The dead have no ability to act. If through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Christ Jesus, hath abounded unto many. How many has it? An innumerable host of children that God the Father has elected and chosen before the foundation of the world. And at some point between conception and death, he quickens them and gives them eternal life. Here it's speaking of the fact that you have received this free gift in spite of the fact that you are of the offense of the sin of Adam, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now this morning, what we want to take a look at, we want to take a look at some scriptures, and there's seven things that I have in my mind here that I want us to look at in different scriptures concerning the riches of the grace of God. Now the riches of the grace of God, we'll find out as we look at these different scriptures that it leads us to repentance. A person doesn't repent that's dead. A person can't repent that's dead. But a person that's been given life, that is a person that can repent. That's a person that can turn from his sinful ways and turn to God. That's one thing that's about the riches of the grace of God. It brings or leads us to repentance. The grace of God, the life that God has given you, it leads you unto his unto repentance, leads us to repent and to follow after God. We'll find that in Romans chapter 2. We'll begin there in the very first of Romans chapter 2 and get down to verse 4, which says this. We want to get down to verse 4, but we'll back up to verse 1. But first, reading verse 4. "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" It's the goodness of God. It's the fact that God resides within you that causes you and leads you to repent from your sin and to follow after God and his instructions of his word. Beginning at the very first of that chapter. "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whatsoever thou art, that judge, whosoever thou art that judgeth, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgeth doeth the same things." In other words, don't judge a man for things that you're guilty of yourselves. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgeth them which do such things and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness?" Now there's the riches of the grace of God right there. "Thou despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." That's one thing the riches of the grace of God does for the child of God. It leads him to repentance. "But after thy hardness, an impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds." Yes, indeed, it's the grace of God, the riches of his grace, that leads us unto repentance. That's one of the things that the riches of the grace of God does for us little children. Now we want to turn over here to the book of Romans, chapter 9, and we'll find here in the book of Romans, chapter 9, that the riches of the grace of God is that makes known unto us salvation by grace. It's the riches of the grace of God that reveals to you the grace of God. And a lot of people don't understand the grace of God. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and you say, "Well, what's the difference between this Baptist over here and the Primitive Baptist?" And you say, "Well, we believe that salvation's by the grace of God." They'll all say, "Yes, we believe it's by the grace of God too, but you got to do this, this, this." Well, if you got to do this, 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 then it's not by grace. And so they don't understand what real grace is. Grace is unmerited favor that's bestowed upon an undeserving individual. It's not something we do to deserve it. It's not something we do to receive it. It comes to us by the grace of God and the grace of God alone. But here in chapter 9, we'll see that the riches of the grace of God, it makes the grace of God known unto us. We'll see here in beginning at verse 20 here of the ninth chapter of the book of Romans. It says, "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted unto destruction?" And then in verse 23 he says this, "And that he might make known," that is, that God might make known "the riches of his glory." There's the riches of the grace of God. "That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory." It's by the grace and the riches of God's grace that he makes known unto us a salvation, that is by the grace of God. "Even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he had said also in Osi, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God." Now that's speaking of the Old Testament, back when Gentiles were not called the children of God, because they were not of Israel. But Israel in the Old Testament was a type and a shadow of spiritual Israel, which is all of God's children that God chose and elected, both Jew and Gentile, here in this world in which we live. And we're a part of that Gentile world that God called and gave eternal life to. That's another thing, the riches of God. It makes known unto us what grace is, and what it is means to us to understand that it's by grace that we are saved. Another thing that the grace of God, grace of God does for us, it brings us a redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, it does. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through the blood and forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." So this grace of God, the riches of the grace of God, it brings us redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ, is stated here in the book of Ephesians, beginning at the top of this, chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, some very critical and very good scriptures. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. People say you ought to accept Christ. No, he made us accepted in the beloved, in Christ Jesus. We're acceptable in Christ and in Christ alone. We're not acceptable within ourselves, except that we have Christ Jesus in us, the hope of glory. And then he says in verse 7, in whom we have redemption. So the grace of God brings about redemption. What is redemption? Redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Yes, that's another thing the grace of God does for us, the riches of the grace of God. It brings unto us redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. Over in chapter 2 of this same book of Ephesians, we'll find a scripture that says the riches of the grace of God, it shows us the kindness of God toward us. It shows his kindness toward us. Chapter 2, verse 7 says this, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Now there it is, the riches of the grace of God. And he might show in the exceeding riches of his grace, in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So the riches of his grace shows us the kindness of God toward us, that he does for us as we travel here in this world. Beginning back up into that to verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath both raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And see, that says right there in that 8th verse that faith is not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. As we find in the book of Galatians, it says it's one of the 9-fold fruits of the Spirit of God. So in order to have faith in God and exercise yourself in faith, you've got to have the Spirit of God. You got to be born again of the Spirit of God when he quickens you and gives you life. As he says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not an offer, a gift. A gift is something that you receive from God without respect for anything that you do, not of works, lest any man should boast. He goes on and clarifies it even more. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't boast about it because it's a free gift, came to you from God. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Yes, indeed, the grace of God, the riches of the grace of God. And now we want to turn over here to the book of Philippians, where we'll find a scripture that tells us it supplies the riches of the grace of God, supplies all of our needs. Now, what Paul is writing to the Philippian church here about is, of course, he's speaking of giving. He's speaking of the fact that this church gave him, sent him in a support of his ministry, even though he was over here ministering to someone else. They saw a need and they supplied the need, and he was telling them that whatever you do, God, if you're a child of God and you're doing as God has instructed you, God will supply all of your need, and God will indeed take care of His children and supply their need. And so this is what this is speaking of and talking about. Beginning at verse 15, he says, "Now ye Philippians have also, that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." In other words, he's telling the Philippian church that no one communicated with him concerning giving and receiving, but them only, the Philippians. He said, "For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." In other words, you would be blessed in the giving of it, supplying the need for me who was going about preaching the gospel. "Yet not because I desired a gift, but I desire fruit that ye may abound to your account." In other words, you would receive the blessing and God will provide for all of your need. "But I have all and abound and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches." There's the riches of the grace of God right there. God will supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Jesus Christ. "Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Yes, the riches of the grace of God, it supplies all of the needs of the children of God that are following Him in what God leads them to do. We'll also find now in the book of Titus that the riches of the grace of God is shed on us abundantly. Now, what does it mean that it's shed on us abundantly? It is abundant. It is always sufficient. There's a scripture that says, "My grace is sufficient for you." The grace of God is abundant. He never runs short. He's always there in a merciful way to provide and keep His children as they travel here in this world. There's an abundant supply of the grace of God that comes to us from God. And this is what he's talking about here in the book of Titus, where he says, beginning there at verse, we'll begin in verse 4 here of this chapter. He said, but after the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, it's an abundant supply. He shed His grace upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs, heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Yes, it's an abundant supply. As he says in verse 4, he says, verse 6, he said, while he shed on us, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the riches of the grace of God is an abundant supply that God brings to His children here in this world. So we're going back to our text now. We'll see. It says here, as the offense, so then is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. We saw all of these different scriptures that express the greatness of the riches of God that comes to us, not only in regeneration, but also in the other avenues of our life as we become disciples of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We saw the scripture that says it. Leads a child of God to repentance. It's the grace of God that leads you to repent from your sins and to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the grace of God, you wouldn't be able to do it. So it's by the grace of God that we're led to repent from our sins and to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that grace of God, the riches of the grace of God, that makes known unto us that it's by His grace, that it's of God and not of ourselves, that it's what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, and what He is doing for us through Christ within us, as He has given us eternal life when He quickened us and made us alive in Jesus. It makes the grace of God known unto us, makes it known unto us that it is grace and that it is by grace, the riches of the grace of God. It brings unto us redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. It shows us His kindness toward us. It supplies all of our needs. We saw these scriptures that show these things to us. It is exceedingly abundant. There's no shortage of supply of the abundance of the grace of God. And He says, it is shed on us abundantly. So we have the grace of God that we rely upon each and every week, each and every day as we travel here as disciples of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, the riches of the grace of God. Going into some of this other scripture here in Romans, where we took our text. Wherefore, he said, going back to 12, verse 12, he said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. What one man by which did sin enter into the world? That was Adam. He sinned in the garden. He disobeyed God. And as a result, all that came forth from the bloodstream of Adam, and that's every single man that's ever been born here in this world except one. And that's Jesus Christ. Well, you say, well, why wasn't he affected by this sin? Because he was not of the seed of man. He was of the seed of God. And so that made him a different, that made his bloodstream different. That's why his blood was sufficient to redeem us from our sins. Because it was a blood that was not tainted with sin as ours. And when he shed it on the cross, he paid for the sin debt of all the elect children of God. He said, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, and all have sinned. For all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. In other words, you wouldn't know it's a sin to steal if you didn't have God's law that said, thou shalt not steal. So it took the law to show us that we're sinners. And the law was given not to save us. The law was given as our schoolmaster to show us that we can't save ourselves. That it took one that did not have the tainted blood of sin. It took Jesus Christ to save us on the cross. So it's our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ when we see that we can't keep the law ourselves. He says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even unto them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, here's our text, not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And now I want to read down through here because there's a scripture in here that a lot of children of God will read it and claim universalism. In other words, that everybody's going to heaven and there is no hell. But this scripture does not say that, and you got to read it and pay attention to what it says to get the truth that's in it. And if you take that one scripture and you take it out of context, you might get that idea, but you'll have to take it out of context and leave the one before it and the one before that who tells you what it's talking about out of it. He says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance. Now listen to this. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Now, the key to that verse is this is what you got to get. For if by one man's offense, that's Adam, death reigned by one. Who? All that came forth from the seed of Adam. That's who that is referring to. And then it says, it goes on to say, but much more they which receive. Now that's the key word. They which receive abundance of grace. There's the grace of God right there. They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in one by one, Jesus Christ. And then the next verse says, therefore as by the offense of one, that's Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And they'll say that all men is the same as the all men up above it. But it's not all men without exception. It's all men that have received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Those that have received from God eternal life by regeneration. That's what that refers to. If you're going to read 18, you got to know what it says in 17. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Yes, the riches of the grace of God. It leads us to repentance. It makes known unto us that salvation's of the Lord. It brings redemption unto the children of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. It shows us His kindness toward us. It supplies all our need. And it is abundant. There's an abundant supply of it. God does not run out of the riches of His grace. And it is shed on us abundantly. Praise God for that. God sheds His amazing grace upon us each and every day that we live here in this world. I thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless and keep you is my prayer. We want to sing some song, announce the open doors of the church in any way she receives members. If there be one here that have that desire, then you have that opportunity.